How you doing today? Good to be with you. This is... Give me a hug. Come on, give me a hug. Come here. Give me a hug. All right. Maybe that was a bit much. Sorry. Overstepped my bounds there, didn't I? You feel like sometimes you want to give a hug to humanity, don't you? You feel like you just want to say to everybody at once with a gigantic microphone, which I think I have, you want to say, hey, cut the crap. Let's just get to what this is really all about. And that is a bunch of floating souls coexisting and making things better, leaving the planet better off than when you came into it, making humanity and life that much more glorious than when you walked into it. That's really all we're expected to do, if we're expected to do anything, to make things better than when you picked it up to begin with. That should be the nature of the human being, to heal and progress. But sometimes I wonder, and that's when the pessimistic part of me seeps in through the cracks. Sometimes I wonder if the human mind is capable of doing exactly what I just described. And then others say, yes, it is. Yes, it is. That within the human being's makeup, there is this need for community. Well, you know, I don't know. Right now in our lives, politically, we're being lied to left and right. And for some reason, we just stand there and go, okay, all right, I'll blindly follow you. But where are the people, like yourselves, who stand up and say, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. And I will tell you that it is not acceptable. And I will let you know that you can't fool me. You can't pull the wool over my eyes. You can't manipulate me. I am not a pawn, I am not a puppet. And one would take offense to that, that these are roadblocks to our path to total humanity. Who wouldn't want that? So, I thought that, Ron, geez, are you drunk? No, I'm not drunk. Maybe I'm drunk with compassion and love. Maybe I'm drunk with compassion and love for the planet and those that try to survive and exist upon it. It's like a gigantic lifeboat, and there are people drowning all over, and you just sit in the boat and go, no, I'm all right. Well, I'm okay. I got a center seat in the boat. Well, I'm all right. God, I don't think that's what that's supposed to be about. I really don't. Anyway, how are you? Good to see you. Let's start the show.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, they do get weird.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Through the years, I have done interviews with Benjamin Krim, who was the founder of Share International, which is an organization, a worldwide organization, it's grown to be worldwide, of people who are talking pretty much what I'm saying, but in a purer sense, that humanity shall win out and things can be glorious if we all become our own smart, independent leaders. And it makes all the sense in the world. They're with us again. Actually, Benjamin is no longer with us, unfortunately. He has moved on, so to speak. His eldest son, Julian, has carried on the name of Share International along with his partner, Felicity. So we're going to speak to them on today's show. It's an extended interview because I think it's important, and I'm sure when you listen to us speak, you'll find it important as well, from whatever aspect you may mentally be in, on which side of whatever fence may be built. Who invented chocolate milk? Because they deserve like some type of an award, like the Pulitzer Prize for Peace, because I'm drinking a glass of milk with chocolate in it. It's chocolate milk, and it is just, see, if everybody could just sit down and drink chocolate milk, we would all get along. We go, what do we have in common? We all love chocolate milk. Not me, I'm lactose intolerant. They make that now. They make milk with no lactose and it can be chocolate. So don't give me excuses anymore. We can do anything we put our minds to do eventually. So why not make the world a wonderful place to be? I used to think that together throughout the globe we could stamp out evil. Evil cannot exist by the pure numbers of the good people on this planet. Evil is but a small, small speck percentage. And then I get pessimistic and I wonder, well, there's a lot more evil than I thought. But then I get optimistic and I say, yeah, but still, good shall always triumph. So you know what? Let's get good going. Let's get good going. Let's all stand up and go for the good. Check in your soul and find it in there. It's standing there waiting for you to pick it up. It's right in your soul, which is right nearby you. Okay, thank you, Ron. God. All right, let's... well, I get frustrated, I suppose. I get frustrated that there are certain individuals on this planet that can control masses of people because they have them captured both mentally and physically. And then we just stand there and we become the victims of this faulty, lying, deceitful leadership, and we do nothing about it except for just find it to be entertainment. We've become comfortably numb. We're joined by Felicity Elliott and Julian Krim. They are, they are Share International. Share International is an organization that has become worldwide. And it was founded by Julian's father, Benjamin, who has been on this show at least a dozen times over the years. And I was always a great admirer of his work and himself as a person. And the two of you have taken the reins, so congratulations to that.
Thank you very much, Ron. Perhaps Julian would like to say something, because sure. He was in the work right from the start.
Yes.
When Benjamin actually first formed the group here in London.
Yes.
I don't know about taking the reins, but... but we're carrying on the work.
Yes.
Put it that way. There's a whole group and many groups around the world, you know, not only in the UK, but
right.
Many groups in the United States and all across Europe and as far afield as Japan and New Zealand and so on. So it's a worldwide group, worldwide movement, or sort of loose association of groups.
It is in a sense a movement, and it's interesting in that sense. It is full of hope and determination, and it's about making a better world, which is what the idea was to begin with, although these days it seems to be plenty of opposition to making things a better world, but that's besides the point. And a lot of it coming from our own country here in the United States, and for that I truly apologize. But anyway,
it's not only your side of the problem.
Well, I know. Believe me, the majority of people in this country are, how do you use the word, pissed off, I think. Okay, anyway.
You know what Lincoln said? He said that America will never be destroyed from the outside. He said, if we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we have destroyed ourselves. And he was a firm believer in the people.
Yes.
And he said the great thing is, of course, to bring the people the facts, the real facts. And I think that's where we are in the world at the moment, isn't it? The question of truth and facts.
It is. It almost seems like, and I said to Benjamin quite a number of times, it seems like, it's time for something to be saved here. It's time for a group or a group of people or a person or whatever to step forward and say, I am going to unite this world in humanity. And that's basically what this is about. It even goes further to say that perhaps... and I don't know where you stand on this, but perhaps there are... beings from another location, somewhere out there, that have actually taken residence here and are mentoring. This is referred to as the Master, which is very common to many religions. For those lay people, it's a similar situation where an incredible entity becomes the leader to the light of goodness, and that's. I mean, how can anybody argue with that, really?
Yes, and that's always been a feature, a notion that humanity has always held, I think, from the dawn of time, that there's a cyclic revelation, that there's a return of a teacher at a time when humanity feels as if it's come to the sort of deepest point, the deepest dark before the dawn, as it were, and is longing for some sort of relief and some help and guidance. And there's always been this notion, and that is exactly where we are in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
Because there is, as you've indicated, there are great evolved beings among us at the moment, and they're coming out more and more into the world, becoming known, and we know them, speaking from a point of view of the ageless wisdom teachings, we know them as the masters of wisdom, but these are simply people like us who have gone ahead of us in their evolution. So all of us eventually become masters, but I'd like to emphasize something else as well. The masters are here, and their leader is here, the world teacher. He has returned again to the world. Mm-hmm. But I also want to come back to something you were saying, and I think it's really crucial. I've just been listening to a speech that former President Obama gave on the occasion of Nelson Mandela, the sort of celebration of Nelson Mandela's life.
Yes.
And Obama was saying, what we need now is the collective. We need a collective input. We need the people to stand up. We need the people to... lead their leaders, and this is something that Benjamin Graham, I'm sure you know, has said many times, and it is in fact part of this whole movement, because what we're talking about is not just simply the coming of some teachers, but it is the rising of humanity to its highest best again, and we have to find that in ourselves as individuals, but also collectively.
No, yes, go on, Julian.
And I was just going to amplify that. I think it's time for humanity to take its rightful place. It's take up its responsibility as part of this world's evolution, if you like, and to stand up for what is right and make its voice heard and say we will not stand for this nonsense.
Yes. Yeah, there's no question about that. But unfortunately, we have human beings on this planet, and not all of them have evolved. Some of them have devolved, and that's a problem. Perhaps there should have been a separate planet for them, but that's besides the point.
That would be handy.
It would be quite handy. But what I'm saying is,
that's a joke.
Yeah,
of course.
It's crucial as what you're talking about. But unfortunately, sometimes things have to get really bad before they can get really good, because it awakens people. Most humans are just kind of walk through life with blinders on if things are okay. When they're woken up by something that incenses them, then they spring into action, and you feel like saying, "Where were you before?" You know, are you? You know, so that's unfortunate, but it does take that, and I think that's where we're going.
Yes, is it your feeling that that's happening now?
Yes, very much so. I don't know how much more one can take.
Absolutely.
Just recently, there was an interesting interview on Super Soul Sunday with Oprah Winfrey and Charles Eisenstein. Uh-huh. And one of her questions, I thought it was a really good question, was, and she was talking particularly about the United States, but I think we can apply it across the board to the whole of the world. She said, do you think that we have come to the point of a breakdown? Are we ready? Mm-hmm. Is it ready to break? Mm. And Charles Eisenstein said no, he didn't think it was just not quite yet. That was a couple of years ago, this interview.
Yeah.
But I think that we are in those times. Yes. The timing is not precisely important, I think, for that. But I think we are exactly at that moment. I think it's a momentous time when there are so many possibilities. The possibilities are endless for change, for transformation,
Certainly. For
making the
Certainly.
World we all want. At the same time, I think it's a sort of point of, you know, they say a breakdown is never really only a breakdown. It's often a breakthrough.
Yes.
And when you have that breakdown, then you have that moment of not knowing what to do, perhaps the panic, the terror, and the suddenly letting go. And then perhaps from that, a new vision can grow.
Yes.
And that's why the masters are here now, because they know that humanity is ready for them, ready for what they have to offer, their guidance and help. But at the same time, we're also ready for a new vision. And you hear a lot of people talking, leading politicians, thinkers, and so on, starting to talk in those terms. Like, we need a vision. Humanity needs a vision.
Yes, but you know, it's difficult to come in the form of politics because they are so loaded with purpose that may be right and may be wrong. It's almost like a Mandela type of figure, or even a Christ kind of figure that is not involved in politics, has no agenda, simply other than to motivate, to speak positively, to get people to feel love for what this person is saying. I mean, that slot is open now, and I'm just waiting for somebody to step up to the microphone for no reason other than to unite the world. I'm craving for this, but no one seems to be stepping forward.
I think a lot of people are craving for it. But it's also a question of, because politics is one means by which humanity relates to itself, by which we relate to each other, and by which we organize our social life. So I think it's a question of, for want of a better way of putting it, to spiritualize politics.
Correct.
There can be a spiritual politics, I believe. And so I think the world teacher, when he emerges, will be talking not only along what we might think of as traditionally spiritual lines or you know, humanity, but also purifying, if you like, all our systems, making them more appropriate for the new time. And that means politics, economics, education, science, everything.
But that all falls into place when the people change. Then all follows the people's wishes.
People must demand it.
Yes, unfortunately, right now it's the other way around, where the politicians and the businesses set it up and the people follow. It's backwards.
Because they have so much power and influence.
Correct. Yeah. It's backwards. Yeah. And we need to reverse that entire, not change it, but reverse it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Well, go on. Yes, Felicity.
I was just about to say that part of our problem at the moment is that commercialization has a huge hold on almost all our systems and our way of thinking.
Yes.
Now, Naomi Klein, and you'll know her latest book, No Is Not Enough, she said something quite, I think, quite startling and very powerful. She said, "They have colonized our imagination." And it's as if we have been hypnotized by commercialization, by the sense of perhaps not enough belief in our own spiritual being, or not enough belief in our core values, so that we've actually allowed ourselves to be persuaded into a kind of consumerism, and that's our
Correct.
Place in the world.
Correct.
And commercialization really has us by the throat. And what's happening with that is, I think what you've just alluded to, is big corporations, big investment, big interests, companies that are more powerful than whole countries. And this is a kind of fascism. This is fascism and materialism.
Correct.
Through commercialization, and it's really got people in the grip, and we have to wake up to this. And this is one of the things, one of the reasons too, why Maitreya and the Masters are in the world, prompting the sense of this is not as it should be. I have the sense of longing. All of us, I'm sure, have a sense of longing for what life could be and what a human being is supposed to be, the best in ourselves. And we have to wake up from this kind of hypnotism that we're in a state of, a sort of hypnotic state of
Correct.
Simply being consumers and going along with it. But we need to reclaim ourselves, our sense of ourselves, as Julian said, as spiritual beings, as people with a sort of inner knowing or a higher level.
Yeah.
I'd just like to come back on something, if I may, Ron.
Sure.
As we've said, it's going to take humanity to demand the change.
Yes.
Now, there's something very hopeful that Benjamin was very fond of quoting, and that is Maitreya, the world teacher, had said that there was a time when 10 good people could change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Then came a time when 1,000 was not enough.
Right.
Today, I will call on 1 billion.
Yes.
Now, some years ago, in about 2010, I think it was, Ben asked his master, "Has Maitreya got his billion?" And his master told him, "Now he has 2 billion."
Hmm.
And that was 2010. So if we extrapolate that, it must be between, I imagine, 2.5 to 3 billion, about a third of the world's population, who are ready for the changes which Maitreya will call for, the reorganization of, of our social and political and economic life. So it's one helpful note. There are enough people who are ready, and when he emerges and articulates their wishes for them, they will rally around and demand the change.
Yes, well, we're a race that requires leaders. Unfortunately, we can't be our own leader at this point, so we require one, and hopefully one of those quote-unquote masters will indeed step forward and start enlightening rather soon, if they could. If you talk to them, could you ask them?
I see what you're saying, but I think I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are, Ron.
I see
that humanity, and I think the masters are here precisely because humanity is coming of age. I mean, I know it doesn't feel like it very often when you look at the latest tweets or whatever.
Not here.
but I think that, I know for a fact that the masters wouldn't waste their time. So I think they're here because they sense and they see a new light, as they put it, a new adorning of a new consciousness. In humanity as a whole. And there are, as Julian said, enough of us. There's also another pressing problem, and that is the state of our planet. And, you know, the climate is suffering, as everyone sees around the world at the moment. Everyone is living in scorching temperatures in places that have never had scorching temperatures and so on.
Like London
at the moment, we're suffering here.
Yes.
So, you know, things are desperate on the one hand. You know, things really need change as soon as possible. And actually, we needed to have been making the changes for the last 20 years, but we're waking up to it now. But as I said, the masters are here because they know we're ready. So I believe it's not only an external leader, because you see, we're also beginning to find, as it were, I'm going to use your word, the leader within ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think that people are becoming more and more aware of the fact that they are more than just the man or woman they see in the mirror every morning. The sense of empathy for people, too, is growing. The sense of being one, you know, of knowing that we actually belong together. And, for example, you can't claim justice, you can't claim that a country has social justice if only a part of the country has justice.
That's
it has
correct.
To be a justice across the board.
Right.
Justice is something like truth. It belongs to all.
Mm-hmm.
And if something is true, it's true for all. If justice, if we need justice or if we have justice, it has to be for all.
You know,
connected with this, I think we're all beginning to sense that we have higher capacities, a core being, a higher self, whatever people want to call this. I would call it simply the soul or the spiritual self. But, you know, that is growing in people, and it is being stimulated also, of course, and encouraged by the masters and by what we're seeing around ourselves.
Right. Interesting. You know, you were talking about the planet, and you know, whether you believe that it's a cycle, that where temperatures and there are more intense storms, whether that's a cycle situation that happens every 200 years, whatever, or not, it's still respect for the planet. It has nothing really to do with whether you think we're destroying it or not. It's that we're not respecting it, and there's just no argument that we don't respect it. And anyway, Share International is concerned about everything that you've heard here, and they do have locations across the world, including in the United States, all over the place. So I'm not suggesting that one becomes a member, but I do suggest that everybody does open their eyes to these possibilities, is really all I can ask for. How does somebody do that?
Well, they can, first of all, via our website, that's share-international.org, get in touch with one of the centers, co-workers, throughout the world, in Europe, in the States, and elsewhere, for events, lectures, and so on in the States. I believe the website is share-international.us. I don't have that exactly in my head at the moment. There's also Share International magazine. This is a monthly magazine which appears 10 months of the year. The double issues in July, August, and in January, February.
Great.
People can subscribe to that. Information is on the website. I suggest if people are interested, go to the website, subscribe to the magazine, write to the centers.
Excellent.
By the way, the website for events in the U.S. is exactly as I said, share-international.us.
Okay.
And in Canada, it's share-international.ca.
Okay. I know there's a share. There's a share dot share-international.org as well. I would assume
that's That's the international website.
International. Yes. Okay. I assume if you just Google Share International, you'll Yes. You'll have plenty of opportunity to go different places.
Their international magazine actually makes a better Google term.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, so there's like 10,000 ways to reach you.
Yeah. Ron, may I say something?
Yes, please.
It's not so much as... I don't think people need to... I think it's not at all important for people to believe what we're saying.
Right.
We're putting this out as information.
Mm-hmm.
It's our information, and we put it out with the idea of perhaps sowing a seed and letting people think about it. If it resonates with them, fine. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is it's not at all important for people to believe it. But if they can take it as a working hypothesis, you know, and test it out in their everyday lives, take it as a sounding board, see if any of this possibly figures. Does it work? Does it, you know, how does it fit into everything you think so far?
Mm-hmm.
Could it possibly be true? Test it, you know, almost like biting on a gold coin. See if it's genuine. See if it works. Because if it's true, it will prove itself to you. And that's all we're saying, you know. But take it as a part of your life, even as a hypothesis for a couple of months. Try it on. See, does this work? Is it true? Meditate. See if your own inner self says something to you about this. Because the masters are always willing to take 100 steps towards us if we take one towards them.
Yeah.
And it really is a question of finding your inner self and then having that as a basis which gives you the courage to see yourself as one with everyone else and taking the action that lies closest to your heart to make the change. So it might be you might work as an environmental activist. You might become a local politician. How about your wonderful new people in the States like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez?
Mm-hmm.
A fantastic example of somebody who has taken to heart the possibility that she can make changes in the Bronx.
Yep. Very true. Very, very well said. Very well said. thank you to the both of you. I hope we're able to talk in the near future and get updated. But there you have it. Pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for what you do. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you for indulging me today. I think every once in a while it's important to just sit down and say, whoa, wait a minute now. Let's just calm down, everybody. Let's remember what the happy place is, shall we? Well, the happy place for me is right here with you every weekday. A brand new show. Please continue to do so. We'll all be better off, I think. But until then, I wish you peace.